Today's podcast is a special one. Not only is it our 20th podcast, but it's also a very special celebration for International Women's Day. So over the last couple of months, I have been consistently inspired by the women that I've met recording this podcast. Founders of businesses, creators of brands, hardworking and talented women. Every story had a little lesson, whether it be about being a woman in business, reinventing yourself, balancing work and motherhood. So, to celebrate International Women's Day, we at Brand Thomas have picked some of our favourite and most inspiring stories from the Brand Thomas podcast. In our very first podcast, I sat down with Jeanette Madsen and Thora Valdemars. They met as fashion editors. Individually, they had both garnered a huge following as street style stars, and together, they created one of the breakout brands of 2019, Rotate by Birger Christensen. So we chatted about it all: motherhood, the trials of fashion, and what to do when the dream stopped feeling so good. How does it feel now when you see a year in? And it's hard to believe it's only been a year.
I know.
It's I feel insane. Like you guys have been around for a longer.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah. How do you feel when you're scrolling through Instagram or you're walking the streets of Copenhagen and you see somebody in your designs?
We get so happy.
Mm-hmm. It's such a crazy feeling because, you know that you've designed it and you know that it's your dress, but still it's like, ooh, she's wearing that dress, and it's like, ooh, it's our dress, you know. So it's like shock. Yeah, and we go, oh my god, you look so beautiful.
You look beautiful in that dress. I was so excited to sit down and chat to the lady who has revolutionized the jewelry industry, New Yorker Maria Tash. Maria has attained global success. She started piercing strangers who were responding to a newspaper ad in her apartment, and now she is the go-to for celebrities who want that design-led, unique ear curation.
I always felt I was very lucky. I think I felt like I could, they never said you couldn't do anything. I really felt like I was lucky that I was brought up in Long Island in New York in a culture that I had a good education, and I never felt like I couldn't do anything. Mm. Not because I was a woman or anything. They just felt like you can. I really felt like I could do whatever I wanted to do, and she supported me and you know, through college while I was, you know, I didn't have to work through college. I was very lucky, yeah, you know, in that sense. But she also, like, there were times early in the business, my mother, I couldn't make payroll. She gave me the money and like believed in it.
Yeah. And look at it now.
I know. It's touching.
So your business has grown hugely in the last couple of years.
Yes.
And, you know, you would be somebody to look up to and admire in terms of what you've created business-wise and also the beautiful things you create physically. Are there people in the business world, any women that you look to or that you admire or that you have a relationship with?
Gee. I do admire the best of people have created first generation jewelry companies, female and men. I look at, like, for example, I have a copy of Forbes top self-made women entrepreneurs on the things, and, you know, talking like visualization and manifestation. I believe in all that stuff.
I really
stuff.
Do too. Well, it's like you said, right? You know, that magnet of the Burj Khalifa on your refrigerator long before you ended up there.
I heavily believe in these
things.
I
really do too, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to start visualizing something as big as you were.
You know, some people go very far with the manifestation where they say, you know, if they want to write a book, develop your book cover and wrap it around a book and things like that. I put that Forbes cover on my counter and I, you know, walk back and forth and I see
that's
it
amazing.
Under my papers. And I intellectually, I think of what's their annual revenue and I think of my annual revenue and I'm like, okay, what does it take to get there? These regions could generate this annual revenue. And if I accumulate, what is our capacity per year? And I've mapped it out.
That's amazing.
You can work backwards like I did. And I want this much success before I'm this age. How am I going to get there?
So to get there then, okay. So the future for Maria Tash, what's the next plan? Where's the next venue? If you can tell me.
We are expanding in the US.
Okay.
We're also going to be opening. So we're looking in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't signed the lease, but we have one out. There's this lovely, beautiful space. It'll be the biggest one to date. We're looking, we'll be in Rinascente Milan this year. So we're opening in Milan. We're hoping everything goes well with our Bon Marché pop-up this year. We're expanding New York. So our New York store will double in size next year. We're expanding our offices in New York, three floors in New York. I'm very excited about that because we live there. You know, I spend more time in my office at work than I do at home. So it's very important that it's a wonderful environment and that we can really be synergetically working together.
Staying in New York, but with a stronger tie to home, I met fashion blogger and entrepreneur Erica Fox, aka Retro Flame. We chatted about her start and what it took to make it in an unknown industry in a place far from home. So the last couple of years for you, Erica, have been incredible and there's been huge growth in your business. Now, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens by very hard work and that very special appeal that you have, but also by being innovative. So is that entrepreneurial streak, where did that come from?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of always been in me a little bit. When I was in school, I was actually one of these people. I was very into school. I studied, did all that kind of stuff. And then when it came to going to university and going to college, I actually really did want to do fashion. But I think at the time, I remember speaking to career guidance teachers or whoever was around me really, and all they would tell me about was fashion design. Mm-hmm. And I could not even draw you a stick man if I had to write the second. So that was never going to be an option. So I kind of forgot about the idea of fashion. And instead, I just did a business course. I did commerce in NUIG. So I think that really gave me such a good foundation. And then I actually went on to do more fashion business courses when I found them. And I think that was such a good, you know, stepping stone. So from there, we did entrepreneurial classes in that course. And then I started the blog while I was in college. So I think without even realizing it, I kind of was molding myself into an entrepreneur, I suppose you'd call it. And then moving to New York, you have to be an entrepreneur.
You do to get on.
There's no choice. Like, you obviously, you know, can go into your jobs or whatever it is. And I did work full time with the fashion brand when I moved there first. But, you know, I was still doing Retro Flame on the side. And there's that real, I don't love the word hustle, but there is that real hustle there. Yeah. And it teaches you and you learn really fast. And I think it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. I sit down with lingerie designer Noelle Wolf on the week of her 50th birthday and the week that launched her eponymous lingerie brand. Noelle discussed her path for reinvention and we chatted about all things skimpy, but also the importance of making lingerie for the female gaze, for us.
Yeah, buy well, buy once.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel with the brand, I'm really passionate about the natural lay of your breast, how breast falls naturally. I don't want to see women with them shoved up, pinched in.
That was a look for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, I mean, for I suppose the 90s, that was the thing.
There's
push
a time
them up.
And a place for it. But you know, but
remember there was the ones I think you could actually inflate.
Yeah,
the chicken fillets and all of that. We've thankfully moved away, haven't we?
But you know what's funny is I think about that sometimes and I go, but then you take all that off and it's not real.
It's not.
I think that's important.
So we're being a little bit more honest about
honest with who
there.
You are. That's the one body you've been given and love it.
I think so. And I think that's important. But also, you know, another thing that I know Noelle Wolf is... feels very important as the brand, not speaking about you in the third person, but you know, shifting the gaze away from, you know, the male gaze to the self gaze so that we're happy with ourselves first and foremost. Yeah. We're dressing for ourselves from the inside out. I think that's a great
for
ethos.
You to want to share with the man. Yeah. You know, you're not, and a lot of women buy underwear for the male gaze and they have to really think about it more for themselves. I hope this will help that happen.
I was very excited to chat to one of the most influential names in Irish fashion, Brown Thomas fashion director Shelley Corkery. I've always been fascinated by what it must take to be a fashion director in the world of leading luxury brands. Spoiler alert, it takes 6 months of travel, but also vision and foresight and a true passion for the business. And speaking of Irish creations, then, you know, you have spearheaded Create and you're so supportive of Irish designers. Who's the most exciting and innovative designer in Ireland?
Well, I think obviously Louise Kennedy has done so well and she's done brilliantly and we're so proud to have Louise on our floor, and she's gone from strength to strength, and she's just, I mean, she's beautiful evening wear, beautiful tailoring, and she's amazing. Lucy Nagel, obviously, for her cashmeres. Yeah. Lucy's been fabulous, and Lucy was one of the founder members of Create. She was discovered in that project, and she's gone from strength to strength over like 5-6 year period maybe at this point, and she's in every door of our business, every Brand Thomas door, and with her cashmeres, and she's really developing her collection through her knitwear, her cashmeres, and now her loungewear.
So cool for kiddie wear as well.
Yeah, she's exciting. Amazing, and she's a great worker, and she's fantastic and really easy to work with. So I love seeing the development of and Sarah O'Neill, who will be in the Marv room. She's due to land next week, and she's come through the Create project as well, and she's done very well each time we do Create. So we'll love to see Sarah rise within the business. And so I think, you know, there's lots happening. And I think the more we see coming through and Create is, you know, a great opportunity for people. Lena Keough, with her knitwear in the designer rooms, has done extremely well. And I've worked with Lena for a very, very long time. So it's great to see her, you know, resilience and, you know, her growth in the floor. And she's always coming up with her beautiful cashmeres and her cardigans. And she's also popping up in the Marvel room with her scarves.
You obviously have such a vision, and you're very innovative in what you've done in Brand Thomas and the brands you've brought in. I think that's something that you can't teach somebody. That just has to be inherent in you.
I think it's your feeling your way all the time, you know, because nobody knows it all. Everybody's learning the whole way. But I think what it is probably, Louise, is about having your eyes open and your eyes peeled for newness all the time, and listening to what's going on in the world and talking to people and looking at your business from a different point of view all the time. And again, back to the bird's eye view of your business, and just not seeing and never ever seeing that, oh yeah, it's fine, it's okay, because it's never fine and it's never okay. You always need more and you always need to change. And I suppose that's the one thing about our business, is it's always changing and it will always change. Therefore, you've got to have the energy to change with it and bring newness, and you've got to always be looking. And I mean, what is the next Maria Tash? What is the next Lululemon? And I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, gym gear, at leisure wear or piercing. It's going to be something different. So we are always looking, and those opportunities, we have to be ready to snap up when they come across.
In one of my favorite podcasts, I met the poster girl for Scandi Cool, fashion influencer, stylist and entrepreneur, Pernille Tiesbeck. We chatted about the secrets of her wonderful style, motherhood and how to mix it all up.
My father passed away when I was a little girl, and that has always been some kind of a thing for me, that, you know, you have to get the best out of your life and you have to follow your dreams. And I know it's very easy to say, I don't want to make it sound like a cliche. I've been working so much. I've been working my ass out to get to where I am today, and you don't get anything for free in fashion. You really have to work for it. And I've been on all sides of the table, and I'm still on both sides of the table within my industry. So I mean, I think I'm very happy where I am today. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished, but you still have to be in it, and you still have to work for it, because you know, it changes all the time.
It does.
And there's so many girls waiting there, like out there, to take your place, even though, absolutely, you know, you think you hit it and you're still there, but time changes.
It's ruthless, isn't
it?
Sonia Deasy is co-founder and CEO of one of Ireland's fast-growing skincare brands, Pestle & Mortar. She launched the brand in 2014 with just one product. And since then, she has grown to a full skincare range stocked in 31 countries across the globe, all while growing a busy family of five.
I'm not into makeup, no. And I'm into skincare, but I didn't know. Okay, I know about brands, and I'm into fashion, and I'm into beauty. But it wasn't like I had all these skincare brands on my radar, and I'm going after X, Y, or Z.
Okay.
That was not my thought process at all.
You just wanted that.
Wanted to create that one product that
just
worked.
Need some hyaluronic serum,
and
for
that's
God's
all.
Sake.
That really was my sole focus.
But I think it's a great way to start, you know, because we're introduced to brands, and you know, and I say it's a saturated market. It really is. Like, I mean, there are hundreds of brands that we can go to for our skincare now. I think, and we're exposed to them as a full range. I think it's a really smart way to start off with just that one product and do it right. There's a trust that I would have in you, you know, prior to using your products, because it's just one thing and you're focusing on it and you're doing it right.
And that's the way, well, we also knew that if we could create that one hero product, we could also market that one hero product. So it's much easier to market one product as opposed to 30.
Exactly.
And, you know, we knew a bit about marketing from our previous business. So I think that, you know, we had all the factors were in place and it kind of just worked for us. I think there's a bit of luck. There was a bit of luck on our side as well.
You think so?
I think, okay, we're very hard workers but I think that the timing was just absolutely right for us.
Were there any moments that you could define as jumping off points where the growth really started because of one particular interaction, be it, you know, PR-wise or in the media? Was there anything that really kind of led to the growth?
So we had, at the very beginning, when we created the brand and launched our first product, we had come from running a portrait studio in Newbridge, where we employed three people. And we were at the top of our game. So people, you know, we had customers, clients that flew in from all over the world to have their portraits taken with us. So we were world renowned in our portrait studio. In the photography world, everybody knew who we were. And that's where we had come from. So our goal and our sole focus was to make Pestle and Mortar the same. But we also knew that our studio could not be a global business.
Now for some interiors, and who better to chat to than interiors maven who literally gives the masterclass on how to create your perfect space, Abigail Ahern. We chatted about her journey from stylist to designer and what it's like to let your fans roam your home. When did you recognize this need in the consumer to bring foliage into your home in a permanent way and obviously a hassle-free way as well?
Yes, it actually happened incredibly organically. My sister, who is a partner in the biz, was working for incredible florists for 15 years in London, from Jane Packer to Nikki Tibbles to McQueen's, just in real flowers, doing incredible installations for President Clinton and all sorts of celebrities. She joined the business and would constantly be moaning that we couldn't afford to decorate the store with thousands of pounds of foliage every week or flowers, and we couldn't find anything in faux. So then I had this crazy idea to say, okay, let's find factories and let's get them to produce exactly what you want in real, but in faux. And that took a couple of years. And then we found some factories. And now we have, I think it's about 12 factories that work for us. So we design everything. And then we go over there 4 or 5 times a year. Everything is hand-painted. Everything looks organic and foraged and wild and very naturalistic. And I think that's why it's kind of gone around the world and gone a bit mad for us, because lots of Gwyneth Paltrow came along and absolutely loved it, and we send a lot to Hollywood and films use them. And I think because in the past, so flowers just look so plasticky and just really nasty, and now we've kind of converted it so they look incredibly naturalistic and very beautiful, and we design them according to the seasons as well. So, you know, the easiest 5-minute facelift, as I say a lot, to enliven any shelf or table or anywhere in your home is to put a flower or a plant, because it just lifts it. So I think it's kind of taken off by storm. We started off just putting them in our own store, and then more and more brands around the world got involved, and then Gwyneth did a thing, and then more and more people. I mean, it's madness now. It's the biggest, craziest part of our business.
It really is. And I think, you know, it's a clever move for anybody, because God, I'm a plant killer, I have to say. I mean, they last no length in my house when they're real. So I had to make that move to, you know, to the artificial foliage.
It's funny, because I was giving a talk and I was talking to a horticulturist, and she said that the majority of fresh flowers are flown in from South Africa and sprayed with chemicals and blah, blah, blah. So actually, it's not the coolest thing to do to buy fresh, if they're cheap, I should say, and they're not coming from your local kind of, you know, nursery. But I think the biggest thing for me with those is that if they look incredibly naturalistic, then you can constantly reuse them. So I take mine from room to room, from season to season. I'll, let's say, take some eucalyptus and just have a jug of eucalyptus on the table, and then I might add some peonies, for example, or some foxtails. So you can just keep adding to it, and it's such an easy way to bring life to a space, I think.
One of Ireland's best loved personalities sat down with me recently for a chat, Vogue Williams, and we talked about her life in business, motherhood, social media, and her TV career, and how she manages to juggle it all.
I don't know. You just have to try and like get themselves to love themselves. We all go through phases in our lives where you're unhappy with the way you look, and I certainly did.
Well, have you felt the pressure?
100%. Like when I was younger, I was really unhappy with my body and stuff like that. And looking back now, I see pictures of myself in a bikini, and now I was fat shamed wearing this bikini, but I look back now and I'm like, oh my God, my body was amazing then, and I hated it. And it's like, how could I have hated my body back then?
You were fat shamed.
Yeah. Like,
I can't even ever imagine a situation where you could be. I know.
It's so silly. But I suppose as you get older, you know yourself, you kind of get, like, you kind of love your body a bit more, and you're happy with your lot. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to change anything about myself anymore. Whereas I used to when I was younger. And I suppose that's a part of growing up.
If you happen to walk through the third floor of Brand Thomas, that heavenly scent that you smell is most likely created by my next guest, Nicola Elliott, founder of Neom Organics. So Nicola managed to turn the anxiety and stress that came with life as a magazine editor of one of the biggest UK glossies into UK's fastest growing wellbeing companies, which has that essential toolkit to make a positive impact on your sleep and your mental health.
Sure. Well, there's no typical day in my job, as I think, I suppose most people, you know, with businesses, because there's so, you know, it's growing so quickly, it's different one month to the next. Mm-hmm. But I think with getting a bit older, I'm quite good at sort of living, you know, a 70-80% life. And what I mean by that is, you know, just dropping a few balls and learning not to sweat the small stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, making sure that toolkit, as I said before, you've got to put some emphasis on the prevention rather than waiting to cure.
Yeah.
So it always, if I need to keep on top of seeing self-care, if you like, as a necessity and not a luxury.
Yeah.
So that's really, really important. And you know, you've got to be a realist about that. So, you know, last night I didn't have time to do much, but tonight, you know, I'll make sure that I have an hour and I take that bath and I use that body lotion and I take time to read. And so I think not giving yourself a hard time, but making those little moments count.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a pod going at the moment, the wellbeing pod in my office, full of energy burst, actually, because I'm feeling a bit
partying last night
after my partying night. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think not giving yourself a hard time is a big one.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking of reinventing your career, Kerry O'Brien of Commando is a lady to look to. She went from vice president of one of the world's largest financial PR firms to conquer the world of intimate apparel and bodywear. We chat about how Kerry rose to the top of both industries.
When I joined Edelman, I was an assistant, and very, 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 very quickly, I was promoted to vice president. I was in my mid-20s, and then by my late-20s, I was senior vice president.
Wow.
And what we did was I did financial public relations, which meant I represented publicly traded companies and helped them go through their IPO process or mergers and acquisitions and help them announce their earnings reports. So it definitely wasn't a traditional fashion background, but I can tell you it prepared me to start my own business because in that industry, because I specialized in lots of different companies, I got to learn to, I learned to ask the important questions and was unafraid of, you know, kind of diving in deep on what the industries did, like whether it was a medical device industry or telecommunications industry. Mm-hmm. I was unafraid of learning the industry and asking important questions. And I kind of took those skills and applied them to when I started my own company, which was years later. You know, I'm a big believer in chapters in life. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it was a high pressure job and I loved it and I thrived in that environment. Mm. And, but I didn't realize the catalyst for me to change was really September 11th.
Yeah.
I did quit my job the day after September 11th. For many reasons, because I didn't want to relive the news cycle over and over again, because you know I had clients that were affected by September 11th. Mm. And at the time, I thought I was going to stop because I just needed a break and I couldn't survive the news cycle of it. But now that I have a lot of time behind me, I realized I was simply burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want my, you know, if I were to go back into that industry, I thought to myself, do I want my boss's job or my boss's boss's job? And the answer was flat out, no. I wasn't necessarily learning anymore. And nothing was getting me as excited as it used to when I first started my career. So my chapter ended abruptly on September 11/12th. And I was ready to do something new. But it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and start this underwear company I've been dreaming about. Mm. It wasn't like that at all. I really didn't have any idea what I was going to do. And that self-exploration was really meaningful. That time where I just kind of had self-reflection was really interesting for me. And it's not like I started my underwear company, it just took off. I started other things that weren't necessarily well-received in the marketplace. And I ended up in a place of starting Commando.
I headed to London to sit down with the lady who has been credited with reintroducing high fashion into the swimwear world, Melissa Odebash. We chatted about the charming story of her start in business and how she and her brand are loved by celebrities and influencers worldwide.
Nothing happens overnight. And I think success is something that I feel like you have to kind of earn it and
of course
pave the streets to make it, because the ones that have overnight success usually are the ones that finish quick.
Exactly.
So nothing happened overnight. I started when I was living in Rome. I was a model many, many years ago.
Wow, you could
do and, that. And I was doing a lot of swimwear and I couldn't find anything I really liked. I'd sit there because, you know, most of the time you're on a shoot, you're sitting around for hours. And I would look through the swimsuits and the seams and everything. I was thinking, oh, I really don't like this and I don't like that. It's not for the average person, because 20 years ago, it was all about zebras and sequins and high on the leg. Although that's coming back.
It is.
I thought, oh, you know what? I want to start my own collection, just do solid colors. So my first collection was solid colors and an animal print, which is still my iconic print that I used for 20 years. Was one of my mother's old swimsuits and I loved the print because I loved 70s, 60s vibe. And then I started... made my first 15 samples and started going door to door to the few boutiques I knew in Rome. And then I would sell them to my model friends. And then they started coming back and I'm like, oh, okay, it's working. And I would drive 2-3 hours out to this small little woman. It was a mother and son.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there and I'd watch them. And then I'd help sew in the labels at
the end.
And in the back, you know, 2 hours in the horrible traffic and do a fashion show, whatever money I was making in modeling, I'd put back in. I'd go to the fabric store and buy the amount of fabric I could afford with the money I made. And then about 2 years in, this friend of mine, Barry, who still works with me today, said she was working at Procter & Gamble and she said, why don't I take your samples to America? I said, oh no, it's Italian cut. The Americans are nappy bottoms. They're not going to understand.
Yes.
They want those big bottoms. They're not going to understand my Italian cut. And she got me... She went, moved back to America and she got me into Sports Illustrated.
Oh my God.
So my first photo shoot was on Naomi Campbell, Heidi Klum, Steffi Graf, the tennis player, Tyra Banks. It was like the five top. I was like, huh.
What a way once to start.
And you know, you have no money then. So you can't pay back in the day, pre-social media, you had to pay for advertising and I had no money. So that was a big start. So once I got into there, then I gave the credit to Saks, and then I got into Saks Fifth Avenue, which is a department store, which is equivalent to Brown Thomas, but in America. And slowly, slowly, I started getting more stores and learning as you go away, because you make mistakes all the time, you know.
Of course.
And that was the start.
That's crazy. I didn't realize you were, you know, to start with those five supermodels. That's absolutely
that was my first photo shoot I ever did. I had no money. I couldn't afford and just happened to be, because they do one issue a year and it's only, and so it's a swim issue.
Uh-huh.
And it was supermodels back in the day.
Our first billionaire of the podcast, Anastasia Suare of Anastasia Beverly Hills, sat down in Brown Thomas to talk about her rise to success. From growing up in Romania to moving to Los Angeles and becoming brow artist to the stars, we learned about how she changed the world's brow game, one eyebrow at a time.
I was reflecting on the 30 years that I lived in the United States, and I lived 30 years in Romania. Yeah. So how that really impacted my life in a way that everything that I learned in Romania, I was able, including the resilience, everything that, because it was a hardship, was there were not opportunities for women there to do anything. And I came to United States and I use everything that I learned in Romania, I use and I put in practice in U.S. I could see opportunities that probably only an immigrant could see.
Yes.
I grabbed them and I didn't take no as an answer from anyone. I am not saying it was easy. It was very difficult. I left my family. I was a single mom after a while, and it was very hard. I worked nonstop.
You worked nonstop.
I felt so bad because I was never able to go to my daughter's school to, I don't know if she had a celebration or anything, because I was working nonstop. It was not easy,
no.
But I saw opportunities and I felt like I have to do it. It was the only place that I felt that I would be able to make a difference for myself and be significant, do something that I am passionate about.
Hope you enjoyed listening to some of the incredible women who have featured on the Brown Thomas podcast. And there are so many more to come, so stay tuned. And if you liked any of the guests that you heard, you can listen in full on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Chat to you soon.